Thanks, Chairman. Look, a question on governance. I'm a shareholder in all of the vehicles, and I know there's been a big debate about potential conflict of interest between your funds and the bank and the way the fees flow, and part of your defence is that we just make an enormous amount of disclosure to the market on the financials of the funds. One thing I haven't actually been able to spot, and I may have missed it in the disclosures, is when a fund makes a big deal and the bank is the advisor, you never actually come out and say what the fee was. Now, for mine, that's actually a very material and important figure. And I'm a shareholder in Macquarie Communications Group. In the last 4 months, you've just splurged $10 billion on three deals, two in the UK, National Grid and Airwave, and Global Towers in the US. You've raised capital. I put $5,000 into the SPP. I've lost $300 or $400, I think, on that. You've put up here how these deals have all been great for the bank, but you've never actually disclosed how much in success fees or advisory fees or debt management fees you have extracted from me as a shareholder in MCG for that deal. And for mine, that is a clear-cut, related party transaction. You've got a foot in both camps. We need to see the figure. How do we know the figure is not exorbitant? We've just got to trust the independent directors. So why don't you disclose related party transactions on these deals specifically, deal by deal, so that the market, the investors can be assured that they're not being gouged? And you know, the obvious sort of incentive would be if there's a $100 million success fee flowing from Thames Water to the bank, let's do the deal because the bank gets $100 mil. And you know, we can only guess what the fee is because we see Thames Water on the cover of the annual report, and I think that these figures should be disclosed. So I'd like some commentary as to why those figures aren't disclosed, and I'd like to bring in the auditor into that, Ian Hammond, and just have another aspect to this question, and that is that down at Babcock and Brown, they have a position where the auditor of the bank, Babcock and Brown, is Ernst & Young, and therefore there's a conflict of interest in having Ernst & Young being the auditor of any of the other associated funds. Now, I'm an investor in all of the other associated funds at Babcock as well, so I've seen this situation. Now, there's a bit of a problem down there at Babcock's because PricewaterhouseCoopers actually provides an office to the chairman of their audit committee, and for mine, they avoid one conflict and create another massive conflict because all the other funds happen to choose PwC, which happens to provide an office to the chairman of the Babcock's audit committee. Now, the situation at Macquarie is different. PwC gets the lot. So my question, perhaps Catherine Livingstone as chairman of the audit committee should come in on this one as well, is why do you have that position where it's okay for PwC to audit everything when it is different from the Babcock situation? And it comes back to the disclosure that why aren't we being told the transaction-specific fees, which are going to be running to tens of millions of dollars when the funds flow back and forth. So if you guys want to be, you know, on the high, you know, high-level governance, you want to be able to say that we're holier than now, I think these are the sorts of issues you need to deal with. They're only minor in the broader scheme of things about governance at Macquarie, but the auditor question, independent auditors of the funds, and better disclosure of the success fees for mine are probably two of the biggest crosses where you can make some serious advances if you make some changes. Thank you.
Well, I think, Mr. Wayne, you answered part of the question yourself by referring to the role of the independent directors on all of those funds. Whenever there is a related party transaction, the standard practice is that the Macquarie-related directors do not vote and that the entire decision is made by the independent directors. My understanding is that the fees, whilst perhaps not always disclosed on a transaction-by-transaction basis, are disclosed in the aggregate by the individual funds all the time. And on the auditor question, I'd prefer to wait till we come to dealing with the auditor at the end of this section when questions to the auditor can be advanced, can be put forward.